Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Chaf Amud Bet, but the new Perek, as Tosafot points out over here, Ad Hashta Ayri B'Kinuyei HaAsurim V'Kinuyei HaMuturim B'Mapis B'Devar Nadur Mapis B'Devar HaMutar. So the Masechta till now dealt with, in the first two Perakim, problems in terms of what's a choser in the neder itself, whether it was some deficit in the language, or some deficit in how you were matpis. Those cases, the Mishnah and the Gemara were telling us about which nidarim work and which nidarim don't work. V'hashto. Now, ma'ariv b'nidarim. Da'afa gav, da'hotzi mipiv lashon shar neder. These are nidarim where there's no deficit in the language whatsoever. It's a complete neder in terms of the language. The failure here is the be'inan piv v'libo shavim. Is that we need him to articulate that which he is feeling in his heart. If there's any dissociation or dissonance between that which is in his heart and that which he articulates, then there's a problem in the ned there. And that's what we're going to discuss here. These are nidarim who don't have any deficit in terms of their technical side, which is what we dealt with in the first two brokim, but rather their deficits in the ability of the person to articulate what they're feeling. There's some lack in the coming to the conclusion, actually making the neder. Now those are arba'a nidarim, hitiru chachamim. There are four nidarim that the chachamim were matir. Now when we say the word matir over here, that does not mean lechatchila. Most of the rishonim note over here, that is, if you took such a neder, it's not a neder. But we don't encourage you, we don't suggest that you take such nidarim. Just the fact is that people do take these nidarim. And if they take these nidarim, then they are not nidarim. Nidrei Ziruzim, which is going to be the topic of today's daf, which are nidarim that are taken in order to encourage behavior on the part of another party. V'nidrei Havai, there's a neder of an exaggeration. So again, that'll be later on. Each Mishnah through the May Perek will go through each of these types of nidarim. Nidrei Shigagot, it's a neder that was taken by mistake or without the proper information. V'nidrei Onsin, and a neder that's taken under duress. Now, the one that we're going to discuss today is Nidrei Ziruzin, Ketzad. This case where you're trying to encourage or engender behavior in another party through your neder, what type of neder is this? And again, remember, this is a neder that will not stand, meaning that the neder will fail. Haya mocher chefetz, he's selling an object, v'amar, and now he makes this statement, konam she'eni pochet lecha min asela. I'm not going to reduce the price lower than a sela. Sela is for dinar. He says, I'm not going to lower the price. And he does that by taking a konam, by taking a neder. Now whether he takes a neder, the Rosh Shavir says he takes a neder saying, konam, I'll eat this loaf of bread if I lower the price below a sela. Other Rishonim like Tosafot, Duran talk about that he's konam. I won't get any benefit from that money that you have over there if I lower the price below a sela. So obviously what he's trying to do is bring the other party to raise his paying price. V'hala omer. And the buyer over here says, konam, sheni mosif lechal shekel. And the other party says, I'm not paying you more than a shekel. A shekel is 2 dinar, which is half a sela. So now they're 4-2. They're arguing about the price. They're haggling over the price. So the seller says, I'm not going below 4 dinar. The buyer says, I'm not going above 2 dinar. And they use nidarim to demonstrate the strength of their position and how they're not moving. Shnehem rotzim b'shloshad dinarim. In the end, they both really want to get to 3. They want to get to that compromised position. And therefore, it's considered to be Nidrei Ziruzim, which is they didn't intend for the neder to be a real neder. It's a negotiating tactic, and they're trying to get to that middle position of 3 dinar. Now, you could structure it. Most of the Mishonim, you can look in here. You can see it in Rashi. You can see it in the Ran and Tosfot Rosh. They all say that it's Ein Libo Bepiv Shavim. His heart and his mouth are not on the same plane. There's a dissonance there because he really wants 3 dinar, but he articulates 4 dinar. The other party wants 3 dinar, but he really articulates 2. So that's the failure in the neder here, is that piv vilibo enam shavim. That's one way to explain it. The alternate way to explain it is found in the Tosafot to read, is to say that the failure here is knowing when you take the neder that the neder is actually going to go through because there's uncertainty to your neder because of the other party. Meaning that your neder will only go through depending on the results or the behavior of the other party. So when you take the neder, part of the problem is you just don't know whether it's going to take effect or not. When you take it, it's almost like a safek built into the neder, and it fails because there's no definitive understanding of whether when you take this neder, it's going to take effect or not, because you involve a secondary party to the neder, and we'll see why that's important in the Gemara. So now what happens in a case where they don't come to an agreement on three dinarim? It seems from the Mishnah that the whole point is that they are negotiating and they're trying to reach a middle ground, and they each stake out their positions. By staking out their positions, they end up in the middle ground. What happens if one of the parties actually acquiesces to the other party's position? So for instance, they get to a seller and the buyer pays up, or the seller comes down to two dinar, comes down to a shekel and then sells it there. Does the nether take effect in that case? Do we say, Monen, you know, his nether was violated. He didn't get to where he wanted. He didn't get to that middle ground. So there are two views within the Rishonim that Ram brings down, that there is a view that the nether is chal, because in that case, he didn't get to the middle ground. And therefore, he does want his nether to go into effect, because he did something, he has to agree to the other party's position, which he didn't want to do. And therefore, his nether goes into effect. Other deot that say that the nether is not a nether because of the fact that the whole point of the nether was a negotiating stance. And the Ran says, like what you're suggesting over here, if you take a nether, there has to be some meaning to the nether. So again, if you end up in the middle position, the nether doesn't have meaning. But if you have to fold your cards and give in to the other position, then it is a binding nether, because you said something, you're bound by your words. Now again, as we said before, we never encourage people to negotiate in this manner, but it seems already that this was common practice. And the Chachamim are addressing this common practice of people using nidarim in this way to say that these are nidrei ziruzim, and the people are not really intending for the nether to take effect and really bind them, but rather this is simply a negotiating stance. Arba nidarim etiru chachamim. Amar lei Rabbi Abba bar Marmel le Rabbi Ami. Amar lan mishmei de Rabbi Yehuda Nisia. Man tana arba nidarim. Who is the author of the Mishnah here of arba nidarim? So, first of all, it's not the author of the whole Mishnah. It's the author of the Ziruzim part of the Mishnah, which is the part that we're discussing today. The other parts of the Mishnah do not require the author to be Rabbi Yehuda, which we'll say in a second. It actually might be problematic if he is the author of the other positions. So it's very particular to this part of Nidrei Ziruzim. Which Tana are we relying on in order to get to that position? He says over here, we have Rabbi Abba Bar Memo says to Rabbi Ami that you said over to us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, who's the grandson of Rabbi, the Mesadera Mishnah, who is an Amora, an early one of the Amoraim, not a Tana, and that's why he's not found in the Mishnayot. Rabbi Yehuda, it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw in the previous parak, the Amar Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, that says the number of Rabbi Tarfon, Lo'olam ein echad mehem nazir. None of them are nizirim, lefish lo nitna nizirut ela hafla'a. Because nizirut must be, the hafla'a means articulated and clear. It must be definitive that you reach a nizirut when you take the neder nizirut. Again, the example, we spoke about this two daf ago, the example being in a case where you have two people sitting down and there's a guy walking towards them. And one of them says, I'm a nazir if he's a nazir. The other guy says, I'm a nazir if he's not a nazir. Rabbi Yehuda says, none of them are nizirim, because at the time they took the neder nizirut, it wasn't clear whether they were going to be a nazir or not. That means if there's any t'nai, any condition built into the nizirut, if there's any doubt as to whether the nether takes effect, it does not take effect. And this is clearly a din in nizirut. That's where the word haflah is brought down. Here you can see the Ran, the Tosafot, suggesting that they extrapolate from nizirut to nidarim. We had the Hekesh earlier on in the Masechta between nidarim and nizirut. The fact that nazir is a subset of nidarim, all of these give us the ability to extrapolate this din from nazir more broadly to nidarim, which is that when you take your neder, you have to know whether you're going to be engaged in your neder or not. Is the neder going to take effect, or is it not going to take effect? So now, in terms of nidrei ziruzim, to compare them to the problem of hafla over here is not so clear or easy to compare them, because the deficit by hafla is your lack of expression or definitive nature of your neder. That's not the case by the nidrei ziruzim. The problem by nidrei ziruzim is the failure of piv v'libo shavim. So it's different failures. That's what I said to you in the Mishnah. There was this alternate explanation of the Tosfot Arid, that the failure in the Mishnah is also a problem of you don't have a definitive answer to whether your neder will take effect, because you're relying on the other party. And the other party will determine whether your neder takes effect or not. By that, maybe your neder fails, not because of piv v'libo enam shavim, but fails because we don't know for sure whether your neder is going to go through. And so it's
coming at you.
Right, so the same, that would be the same as nizirut, and that's the benefit of explaining the Mishnah that way. But again, as I said to you in the Mishnah, everybody says that it's a failure of piv. Belibo shavim, the idea being that maybe also by hafla'a, you would have to argue that the failure there is also piv velibo enam shavim, because he's saying a neder, but he doesn't really know. And his uncertainty within his leiv makes his articulation not be a real neder. And maybe the failure there is also a lack of piv libo shavim. Rav Amar afilu teima rabbonon. Even the rabbonon could be the authors of our Mishnah. Miktanim shnehem ratzu. Shnehem rotzim miktani. What is the language of the Mishnah? The Mishnah is not shnehem ratzu, but rather shnehem rotzim miktani. Now, shnehem rotzim is obviously means that from day one, from moment number one, rotzim, that's what they want. Shnehem ratzu would imply, and that's the way that you can see the Rosh, the Tosafot, the Ran over here read it, is that Shnehem ratzu would mean that after the fact, this is where they wanted to get to. That means that, we'll call it, quote unquote, nolad, something new information. When they took the neder, they didn't know where they were going. Now, after the fact, they get to a negotiated price, that's ratzu. That's what they wanted after the fact. So l'mafreya, we can go back and say that that was their position. But if you say shnehem rotzim, that means from the time of the neder already, that's what they had in mind. That was their intent when they started the neder. So in that case, even the rabbonim can agree over here, because the failure of the neder has nothing to do with information that we get later that makes it undefined. It's from the moment he took the neder, he never intended for this neder to take effect. It was simply a negotiating position, and therefore the Rabbanon could even agree over here. Rashi over here has a slightly different view. Rashi says over here, Shneim Ratzu. Dig Tani Ochi Avamashna Shneim Ratzu B'tchila Shlosha Dinarim. Ratzu means that they wanted, in the past tense. They wanted three darim. Elach Shah B'shat Neder Ein Rotzim. At the time of the Neder, that's not what they want. Elosamcha Daitayu Adibur Pien. And therefore they relied on what they had said. Upien V'lovim Shavim V'neder Mal Yohavi. And therefore it's a full-fledged Neder. Rotzim tnan, v'damash meikara rotzim b'gimel darim, v'kati shneim nami rotzim, v'lo yapim v'libam shavim, hilkach rabbanan modu. So over here, the case of rotzim means they always wanted three, and they still wanted three, and the whole point here is the zariz. Whereas the first case was a case where originally they wanted three, but then they changed their mind, and decided that they didn't want three. So they're relying on their original statement now to unwind it. But at the time they took the neder, they didn't re-articulate that it was three dinarim. That was some stance that they had made before, not the stance they took at the time of the neder. So Rashi says that's the problem. Ratzo or Rotzim has to do what was what their mindset was at the time of the neder and beforehand. Versus the other Rishonim who say Ratzo and Rotzim as being either at the time of the neder or after the neder. That's the difference between whether it's considered to be the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda or the Shita of the Rabbonon. So now the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Amar lo Tfei Misela Vahala Omer Batzir Mishekel Nidra Havi. Is that a neder? O Ziruzim Havi. Or is it Ziruz? So here you have different approaches. Look, Rashi over here says that what happens if one of them is asking for more than a Sela and one of them is asking to pay less than a Shekel. So now over here, Rashi says over here, Kaven to Daiki Hachi Nidra Havi Basurin. Olo, Dizuzim Havi. Rashi says the fact that they are putting in the decimal point, as we would say, not only did they say, I'm going to pay 5 shekel for this, they said, I'm going to pay 5.1 shekel for this. If they're ready midayik to that type of detail, does that mean that they're taking a really fixed position? They're not talking about negotiating more, because why would you say 5.1 if you're negotiating to get to a middle position? So the problem here is that he said, one party said, I won't sell it for less than a sella and a pruta. And the other guy says, I won't buy it for more than 2 shekel minus a pruta. The fact that they added in the pruta, which is like a decimal point being added on or a fraction being added on, already shows you that they're giving an exact position. And that's the question of the Gemara over here. When you give such a defined exact amount, is that no longer a negotiating position, but rather the amount that you want, and therefore the neder takes effect. The Ran and others bring down a secondary approach to this, which is that the problem here is the amount of the spread between them. If we're dealing with Sela, which is 4 dinarim, and you're dealing with Shekel, which is 2 dinarim, the obvious middle point is the 3 dinar in the middle, and therefore the spread between them isn't so great that they can't overcome the differential. On the other hand, if you say over here, the first guy says sela plus another dinar. Say he says 5 dinar. The other guy says shekel minus a dinar, meaning he says 1 dinar. So now they're at 1 and 5. The middle ground is still 3. But is the distance between their positions too big that the nether no longer means that they're trying to get to a compromised position, but basically saying, we're done because we're too far apart. And so that's the question here. When they have either a greater gap, is it too far apart for them to get to a middle position and therefore they really mean their nether? Or again, according to Rashi, they're so exact in their wording of exactly what they want that it no longer looks like a negotiating position. It looks like a final price. And so that's the question here. Is it considered to be a nether or is it still considered to be a ziruzim? Amale tanina. We have it in a Mishnah. Haya misarev b'chavero sheyochal etzlo. So they were pressing him to eat by him. His friend was pushing, I want you to eat by me, I want you to eat by me. V'amarlo. And he responds to him, konam beitcha shani nichnas, or konam tipat tzonein shani toim. So here he takes a nether in one of these two forms, which is, either he takes a nether that amasur bana to you within your stuff, if I go into your house, if I even enter your house. Or the other one is, even if I take a small drink of water from you, amasur bana mutar, likanes lebeito, velishtote menu tzonein. He's still mutar to go into his house, and to lishtote menu tzonein, and to drink cold water from him. That his intent was for eating and drinking. I mean, the guy is pressing him, pressuring him to join him for a meal, to come and eat with him, to have a real meal with him. Then he takes a nether, which is extreme. The nether is extreme in the fact that he's not even addressing what the guy's asking for him. The guy's asking for him to come and have a meal or have a drink. He doesn't take a nether. I'm not going to take a drink. I'm not going to have a meal with you. What does he say? I'm not going to even walk into your house. I'm not going to even take a sip of water in your house. When he takes such a nether, he doesn't mean exactly those items, but rather he's trying to take an extreme position to show the guy, I'm not interested, I'm not coming over. So therefore we don't hold him to his position. What his status vis-a-vis achila v'shtiya is interesting. You can see in the Rosh, he says, v'kol shekein shemutar v'achila v'shtiya. Certainly he can have achila v'shtiya, moshe l'hizkir, if what he articulates is not a nether, then certainly what he has in mind is certainly not a nether. If a person articulates something, he has something in mind, it has no bearing on the nether at all. Certainly over here, where his articulation has nothing to do with what he was thinking, certainly over here that it doesn't work. And the nether fails completely, according to what the Rosh is saying over here. Not only can you drink little drip sips of cold water and go into his house, you can have achila v'shtiya, the nether takes effect, doesn't take effect whatsoever. On the other hand, Rashi v'chid nadar, ze she'enu to'im imo tipat tzonein, v'day la'achila mruba nitkavein. That's definitely what he had in mind, and the Ron says a similar thing, afilu hochi, amrina lav davka nadar, he didn't do this exactly, and we are anan sade, as Tosfot says, we are witness to the fact of what his intent is. The context tells us what the nether was about, and it was about achila v'shtiyah, and therefore, according to all of these deot, then the achila and shtiyah are asurim, because that's what his intent was. He articulated this way, we'll see in a second why he articulated this way, but it's clear that sipat sunein and the nichnas lebeito are not in effect, but achila v'shtiyah are in effect, because that was the intent of the nether. So they all believe that the nether works, but it just works for the major item, which is achila and shtiyah. Rosh over here indicates that it doesn't work whatsoever, that this isn't a nether. He fails on the articulation side because that's not what he had in mind, and he fails on what he had in mind because of the articulation wasn't what he had in mind. So the nether fails completely according to the Rosh. So Gemara says, Vamai, why does this work? Vatzipot tzenein kamar. I mean, he said, I'm not going to drink a drop of water. Why doesn't it take effect? Ela mishtai inish hochi. People speak in this manner. Hachanami mishtai inish hochi. So to over here, this is the way the people conduct themselves. So what does that mean that people conduct themselves? Either you have to say, depending on how we explained before, the question of the Gemara, that the question of the Gemara was either they were so medayek in the decimal points that it's not a negotiation anymore, it's a final price. So the Gemara answers, no, people do that. People say 5.1 and they slowly get to that middle price even though they're using decimals. Or if you say that they're too far apart, that's still a negotiating tactic, and people are trying to get to the middle ground. And when even when they're far apart, they're trying to get to the middle ground. And that's why people act in this manner. It's part of the negotiation. And therefore, again, we're going to suggest over here that this is all Nidrei Ziruzim, just like it is over here with this guy who says, I'm not going to enter your house, I'm not going to take a sip of cold water from you. That's not what he meant. That's how people react. They overreact when someone is saying, I want you to come over and eat, I want you to come over and eat, and finally just says, I'm not going to even take a morsel from you. That's what he says. Now, does he mean it? No, it just means I'm not coming to eat and drink with you. So now, why do they do this? Amar lei, mi dami, gabit sonein. Gemara says, can you really compare the cases? By sonein, I can explain his behavior. Why? He's going to say, tzadikim omri ma'at vosim harve. Right, the famous line from Avram Avinu. They say very little and they do a ton. So that's what he's afraid of over here by the tzonein, which is that he wants him to eat over here. So he says, you know what, just come in and take a sip of cold water. So the guy goes, I know if I go in there and get a sip of cold water, the guy starts with a little cold water and I'm going to be there for a whole meal afterwards. So he takes the neder in that manner because he's really addressing a broader situation, which is, I don't want to eat a meal there. But if you get me in there, in the door, and to drink, or you get me into your house, I know that the guy's going to get me, because tzadikim omri ma'at vosim harve, then you're going to end up giving me a full meal. So then I understand why people would take a neder like this. I'm not even going to take a morsel from you. I'm not going to take a drink from you. I'm not going to step into your house. He does that because he knows that that will result in a meal. So he takes the neder in that fashion. Hocha sveiko dilma pachot misela yotera shekel ka'amar vizirizim havi. Maybe what he meant is less than a sela and more than a shekel and a zirizim. Or maybe over here, he really means what he's saying. Vinidra havi. And it is a neder. So there's a difference here between the two scenarios. In the scenario of the food case, anansade, we can be witnesses for him. We understand the nature of his neder. There was a give and take between him and the person that is trying to convince him to eat there. And then he takes a neder in such a language, and this is a common occurrence. It's a common occurrence that people will take such a neder because of the nature of people. People are generous. They're tzaddikim. They say little, they do a lot. And therefore he knows there's a risk that if he enters his house, or he has a tipat sonein, that he'll end up in a full-fledged meal. So because of that, he basically says, he takes the neder in that fashion to block the achilan shtia. It's clear that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to prevent himself from having a meal by this individual. Why does he use this language? Because of the nature of people, he uses such a language. For mishtayachi, people act in this manner, and it makes sense to argue that that neder really didn't take effect. Whether it didn't take effect completely, or it took effect just with achila and shtiyat, we saw the machloket of Rishonim. But by our case over here, we are uncertain as to what he meant. So now you're telling me, people act this way? Okay, some people act this way, some people don't act this way. That is a safek already. That type of safek, why you can automatically interpret his words to mean that he definitely meant to negotiate and he didn't mean to take a stand or a position over here. And so the Gemara says we can't compare it. Just because some people do it this way doesn't mean everybody does it this way. So therefore with this guy, we don't know. Is he like the guys that negotiate this way or is he like the guy who takes a stand and that's it? So because of that, Tibai we saw earlier in the Masechta, Tibai means teku in Lashon Nedarim. The Gemara does not have a solution, doesn't know what to do in that case, whether it's considered to be a negotiating position or simply a stand that the person's taken, the neder will take effect. So again, by the case of the food, there we're clear. And that's why, as Rashi says over here, that you can't have large amounts of food, but you are allowed to have small sips of water, you're allowed to enter his house. The neder was clearly about a large meal, not about anything else. In our case, it's not clear what the intent is. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meravasi. Arba'a nidarim alo tzrichim shela l'chacham. They require shela l'chacham. So ki amita kamei de Shmuel. When we said this before Shmuel, Amar tano toni arba'a nidarim hitiru chachamim. Four nidarim l'chachamim were matir l'gamrei. Vat amar tzrichim shela l'chacham. And now you're telling us they need shela l'chacham? So how do you reconcile that? How can you have a statement here that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Vasi that here you need Hatarat, what seemingly is Hatarat Nidarim, and the Mishnah seems to say, Hey Tiru Chachamim, that is that they're Matir at the Gamrei. So it doesn't seem to make much sense, their statement. Now what it means when you say Tzrichim Shelala Chacham is a good question. Does that mean it needs full-fledged Hatarat Nidarim? Or does it simply mean that you have to go to the Chacham? Once you go to the Chacham, the Neder will unwind by itself because the nature of the Neder and the Mishnah. So when we say Tzarech Shelat Chacham, is this a classic Shelat Chacham, which means he's got to do a full-fledged Hatarat Nedarim? Or Shelat Chacham simply an inconvenience? which is we want you to go to the Chacham because we don't want you taking Nidarim willy-nilly. So it's a penalty to stop you from acting in such a manner. And so in that penalty, we make you go to the Chacham. Once you get to the Chacham, the net is going to unwind because of the nature of the Nidarim. They are not Nidarim Midoraita. It fails because of Pivalibo and Amshavim, or whether because it's not definitive when you take it, whatever the reason is, it fails. So Midoraita, you don't have a Neder. Midorabanan, we force you to go to the Chacham. Once you get to the Chacham, it's obvious why the Neder is not a Neder. So that's what seemingly Rav Asi is trying to suggest. Is the case in the Mishnah. Shmuel doesn't accept it, because when you say Hitiru Chachamim, sounds like they are null and void, legamre. You don't need to do anything. So now, Rav Yosef, Matnila, the Hashmaitada, Bahai Mishnah. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, has this discussion take place in this manner. Am Rav Yehuda, Rav Asi, Ein Chacham Rashay Latir, El Ge'ein Arba'a Nidarim Halalu. A Chacham is not allowed to be Matir Neder, except if it's similar to these kinds of nidarim. These are the paradigmatic type of nidarim where shilat chacham or hatrat nidarim should work. Kasavar, he must believe, ein potchim b'charata, that you cannot open a neder b'charata. Charata is regret, and it talks about the person's regret taking the neder. Is regret enough of a reason to be matir the neder? Now, ein potchim b'charata, here you have a machloket as what the word potchim means over here. So you'll see through Rashi, Rashi talks about potchim, ein potchim charata. The word poteach is like in a conversation. The poteach is the one who starts the conversation. So what it means is, ein potchim charata means that the chacham, when you come to him, he does not open with this line, do you regret taking the neder? Because, in a sense, that's leading the witness, and the guy wants out of the neder, and he's just going to say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you don't, ein potchim charata. If he expresses regret, then already, we can talk about the regret. And charata would be a vehicle for being matir the neder, just if it comes from his own volition. Not because you are proposing to him that maybe he regrets the neder. That's the way Rashi reads it. On the other hand, Tosafot and the Ran over here read, ein potchim b'charata means, ein matirim neder b'charata. Ein potchim does not mean to open, like Rashi is saying, meaning in the sense of an opening of a discussion. But rather, ein potchim means, you do not release the neder through charata. So according to Tosafot and the Ran, ein potchim b'charata means that this is not a vehicle for hatrat nedarim. Charata is out of the picture, because charata by itself is too risky. And Rashi will respond to these positions and say, listen, the fact that the guy's showing up here to come to the Chacham already is indicative of the fact that he is mitcharet, that he has regret over here. So just the fact that when you ask him about charata, or he raises the issue of charata, well, that's going to convince him that he now has charata, because then he knows he'll get out of his nether. The fact that he's here already shows you that he has charata. So that's why we allow you to use charata, we just don't want you to be poteach b'charata. Therefore, the machloket we're going to see upcoming about whether potchim b'charata or ain't potchim b'charata, the firashi, that means the chacham can't start with it, but he can utilize it, because the mere fact that the guy showed up already shows us that he is mitcharet. And therefore, if these parties believe potchim b'charata means even the chacham can open with charata. Because according to the Ran and Tosafot, the question is whether charata works or not as to be matir neder. According to those deyot that say ein potchim b'charata means it doesn't work at all. Whereas according to those that say potchim b'charata means that you're allowed to use it to be matir neder. You're allowed to use charata, but the chacham's not at all open with the charata because we don't want to lead the witness. But on the other hand, we let him use charata because the mere fact that he showed up here at the chacham is indicative of the fact that he is mitcharet. So now the Shelat Chacham is just to clarify whether that Charata is sufficient and it was Mi'ikara, so on and so forth. But we don't prevent you, even when we say in Potchim B'Charata, it doesn't prevent you from utilizing it. On the other hand, the other Rishonim believe, no, that Charata just cannot be a vehicle for being Matir Neder, because that's every situation is Charata, and we're afraid of the abuse of people saying, yes, they are Mitcharei to get out of it, and therefore they have to look for a Petach. They have to look for a methodology which is Oker, the Neder Mikaro, but not because of Charata. How the Atta the Kamei de Ravuna? There's this individual who came before Ravuna Amar, Libcha Lecha. Is your heart still with you? Now, meaning that, are you still the same frame of mind as when you took the Neder? Amalei Lo. He says, no. Vishariyah. And he was Matir. So you can look at Rashi, all these things. They said that this argues on the previous statement. Alma Kasavar Potchim B'Charata. That means that they do poteach b'charata. It means, according to Rashi Shita, that means that he opened. The chacham here opened with that line. Do you still feel the same way you did at the neder? That's potchim b'charata. Or, according to the Ran and the Tosafot, means that he argues. He says you can use this as a way to be matir neder charata. Now, both Tosafot and the Ran point out over here that it has to be charata mikara. It has to be charata, that is regret from the moment he took the neder. It can't be that, no, when I took the neder, I meant it, but now I regret taking the neder. That's not called regret, because that means that he really wanted the neder, and now he's having trouble dealing with the neder, and now he wants to unwind it, because now it bothers him. That doesn't work. A petach neder only works where, at the time point of the neder, I changed how the guy was thinking. That basically, he either didn't think through the situation, or he really regretted having taken the neder from day one, because it was really through emotion or whatever it was that caused him to do it. Therefore, I'm going to be matir the neder, because it's clear that that's not what he intended. Whatever it is that you want to call it, over here, but it's clear that when he took the neder, he didn't really mean to take the neder. And that's what it means here, that potrim b'charata, but it has to be charata mi'kara. Can't be charata that develops over time, that's called nolad, and that doesn't work. How da'ata l'kamei d'rabba b'rav huna? There was this individual who appeared before Rabba Bar Huna. I'm late. Ilu aya asara bnei adam shifai sucha boto sha'a minadarta. If you had 10 people there that would have appeased you at the time and calmed you down, would you have taken the neder? Amalei lo? He said no. Ve'tiro. And he was matirit. Now what that means, that there were 10 people there at that time, you can see in Rashi, over here says, shim patchu l'cha b'charata, k'shir atzita nidor, klum nadarta. So basically he's giving him a scenario, which, if at that time, the moment of the neder, there were 10 people there, and they would have convinced you, or potchim l'cha b'charata, they would say, aren't you going to regret this? You're not going to want this. Would you have been noder? The answer is no. So if you had 10 people there that would have looked on and said, you know, are you really serious about this? Do you really want this? You would have backed away because of the embarrassment at the time, or the realization that what you're doing doesn't make any sense. They would have brought you to your senses had there been 10 people there at the time. That's the way Rashi explains it. I think 10 is because 10 is considered to be a public type of issue. Instead of being one-on-one with a person, 10 people already makes it a public type of idea. If you were in public like this, and you were faced with all these 10 people telling you, I think you're going to regret this, would that have been enough pressure, in a sense, to change your mind about it? And if he says yes, that means that he really didn't intend to take the neder. It was just a function of the circumstances he was in at the time. Had he been in a normal set of circumstances, he wouldn't have taken the neder. The Ran over here says, Lo ayu achshav yud b'nei adam. The Ran says it's a theoretical question. Had there been 10 people there, what would have been the case? The Ran says, what happens if 10 people came in right now and placated you? Would you have taken the neder? The answer would have been no. So Rashi talks about 10 people being there at the time of the neder. The Ran talks about 10 people now. And theoretically, if there are 10 people there now, would you have done this? Or, we have over here, the Rosh, Shkomar Shemafisino Tcha'ata. There are 10 people, the Rosh says, that are standing here now, being Mefayes you, would you have taken the neder? And the answer is no. Now, what that means, does that mean that Ein Potchim B'Charata, which is the girsa that you can see, Rashi has a similar girsa like that, which is that he's saying Charata doesn't work, therefore I need to use a different vehicle. The Ran over here comes up with a compromised position and says that there are 3 different levels. There's Charata, there's a real Petach Neder, and then there's this 10 people thing, which is a middle ground. And therefore, even if you think that Charata doesn't work, you might think that the 10 people work, even though that's not a full-fledged petach. And therefore, he calls this like this middle ground in terms of tichat nidarim. Tanya. Now we have a braita. As the Rosh points out over here, Tanya, usually in the Gemara and the Bavli, would be either Tanya Namihochi or Tanayei. This machloket amoraim is also found in the braita. There's a machloket Tanaim. But he says over here, but lashon nidarim mishuneh. The way that the Gemara in the Darim speaks is different. And so instead of saying something like, Tanya Namiochi, we have a braita that supports this argument, or Tanae, this is also Machloket Tanaim, the Gemara just launches into Tanya. Here's a braita. And the braita says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amrim la'adam lev zeh alecha, is your heart still with you? Imamar lav matirin oto. So here you see, like Rav Huna said before, Potchin b'charata. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv, Omrim lo ladam ilo ya asara bnei adam shifaisucho beoto sha'a minadarta. If there were 10 people there to placate you, would you have taken such a neder? According to all the 3 different opinions that we had over here. Imam Arlav, if he says no, matirin oto, then we are matirit. There was somebody who came before Rav Asi. Amalei, kedushat. Is this really what you wanted? So over here, it's not clear what this language means. You can look in Rashi, kedushat tehita is from the word toheh. So the word toheh is, do you regret this? Meaning that's what he's asking. Like this, do you regret it? Amalei, velo. What do you mean, do I regret this? Of course I regret this. And then Vishariya, therefore he was matir, which it again would indicate that you are putchim b'charata, as Rashi notes over here, which is somewhat problematic, as Ram points out over here, because up above, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, that we said, ein hacham ha-shedatir elokein arba nedarim, meaning kasavar ein putchim b'charata, that you're not allowed to use charata. Yet over here, Rav Asi using charata. So what the Ram says over here is that you have to differentiate between Rav Asi, who was the Bala Memra up above, and Rabbi Asi, who is the Bala Memra over here. And that's the difference. One of them was Rav Asi from Bavel. One of them was Rabbi Asi in Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we reconcile between these two positions. And that's why over here it seems that Rabbi Asi has a position of Potchim Becharata. And up above it's Rav Asi who says that Ein Potchim Becharata. How would after the coming of Rabbi Elazar, the person who came before Rabbi Elazar, Malay, Bayet Nadur? Did you really want to take this nether? You really took this birtzon necha? Amalei, ilo lo margizin li, ilo bin in klom. If they weren't bothering me so much, they weren't angering me so much, I wouldn't have done any of this. Amalei, tehei kibait. It should be like you wanted. Now here, there's a machloket about how to read this. Does that mean that, like the Rosh explains over here, mitchila alona darit al mitel chroges? The only reason that I took this nether in the first place was because I was angry. Vata, no, and now my anger has subsided. And therefore I'm mitcharet that I was so angry and out of that emotion I took a nether. And take your vait is, take your itzon cha. It should be like you asked. The nether is mutar. That's one way to read it. Or the other way to read it is, amalei vait nador, did you want to take a nether? And you still have this nether in mind, mean you're still angry about it. Amalei, yelo margazin li, yelo bein in klom. If they didn't keep getting me angry, I wouldn't have wanted this nether, but they keep keeping me angry. So I'm like, take it to bait, then your nether is in effect, because if you took it out of anger and you're still angry, then you have no regrets about it, then your nether is in place. Did you want your nether until this point in time, and now you're mitcharet, now you regret it? And his answer back to him is, yeah, I was really angry, and therefore I did want the nether. Now my anger has subsided, now I don't want the nether anymore. And then he says, kid the bait. Then your nether is the way you wanted it. The nether is in effect. And you are not mutar. So you have two ways to read this over here, as whether the individual got a hatarat nedarim, or whether the individual over here actually caused himself to uphold his nether. So most of the Rishonim take the approach of the Rosh, the Tosafot, the Ran, all suggest over here that this was a hatarat nedar in Rashi as well. And he says that this position is one who says, en putchim b'charata. So again, you have alternate views of whether potchim b'charata or not potchim b'charata, and Rabbi Lazar is one of those opinions, and potchim b'charata. Hayitita, that darta librato. There was this woman who took a neder to restrict her daughter in getting hana from her. Atai lekameh de Rabbi Yochanan. She now comes before Rabbi Yochanan to try to be matir the neder. Amar lo, ilu ava yadat. If you had known when you took the neder, the amran migertech, that your neighbors would say Allah debratach about your daughter, and as you can see here, all the Rishonim are quoting from Umigrat Beita. You can talk about your neighbors, as used in Shmot, when it talks about Bnei Israel borrowing from the Egyptians before they leave. So Migrat means your shachain, your neighbor. Had you known when you took the nether that your neighbors would start talking about your daughter, ilo lo chamat ba ima milin daziva bichtei lo adarta. Had her mother not seen, from the word chamat means to see, her mother didn't see serious issues with this daughter, bichti, for no reason, lo adarta, she would never have taken a neder. So basically what the neighbors are concluding is, the fact that the mother took the neder is casting aspersions on the daughter, because no mother would take a neder of ana from her daughter unless there were serious problems with the daughter. So this daughter must have serious issues. There must be serious problems with her. And now it's giving your daughter a shame ra because of this nether. Mia Darta, would you have ever taken such a nether? Amarlelo said, I would never have taken such a nether. Vishario, and he was matir the nether based on that, because she, at the time she took the nether, didn't understand or didn't really get her hand around the ramifications of taking the nether. And she never intended the nether to cast aspersions on her daughter. Obviously, she was trying to send a message to her daughter that she was not pleased with her behavior, but she was not trying to cause a problem where in the future her daughter would have problem, where her daughter's standing would be compromised amongst her neighbors because of this nether anah. And therefore, she regretted taking the nether, and Rabbi Yochanan was matching the nether based on that. Okay, we'll stop over here on the third line on the top of Chavbet Amud Aleph.